I want a love scene, goddammit.
Right. Who doesn't want to make out on TV? It's pretty cool.
I mean, while the titty's still up in the air, you know?
Right. Let me make out while my titties are fresh. They're going to soil eventually.
I'd like it on wax as evidence so I can show my kids later. You see them titties? Like, I was the shit back in the day.
I know you don't like talking about your mama's titties, but here I'm going
to
show you.
I need you to see them just so you respect me, goddammit.
Boys, gather around. I have something to share with you. Everyone around the fireplace, I have a big announcement. And,
did your daddy ever tell you about this why? No.
There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. Welcome to another phenomenal, devastating, thick-bootied episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories. And we finally start that GoFundMe to recollect Ice-T's ponytail. The man ain't been the same since they took his ponytail from him. We got to get that ponytail back. By all means, by any cost, we will get Ice-T back his ponytail. I am your host, Langston Kerman. I am excited to be here. It is hot in my house. I ain't wearing no sleeves. We're getting it popping today. And my guest today, apparently she's not wearing no shirt, which is very exciting for everyone involved. It's an audio podcast, but now you get to use your imagination, which is very fun. She's hilarious. She's just so fucking funny. You know her from Netflix. You know her from Black Monday. She's just hilarious. I'm a big fan. Give it up for my guest today, Miss Janelle James, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Man. I haven't felt applause in so long. Woo. Let it wash over me. Hit that again. No, I'm joking.
One more time. I got you. It's nice, right?
Oh, it's, hell yeah.
You haven't done any of the, you know, the outdoor shows? You haven't gone and ventured out?
2 days ago was my first one with Chelsea Handler. It was such a, such a huge ordeal and that I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure out if I enjoyed it or not. It was so stressful.
Right.
First show in 5 months.
That weird thing of like, you're not comfortable doing your art the way that you used to do your art.
Yeah.
Tacked on top of the fact that like you're putting koozies on top of your microphone to
yeah.
keep from spreading germs. It's all very weird.
That's not even a half of it. It was a shoot, not just a show. So this is SAG rules and it is intense. So to... you know, sanitize and audience and mask and isolation. And it's just like, yo, is this fun?
Right. I mean, was this worth it?
I got paid. I was like, I had told myself I wasn't going to come venture out unless it's for a good amount of money. So they got me on that. But then I was just like, yo, this is crazy. I don't know if the money, now I'm like, I don't know if the money was right. It was so much. It was so much to deal with. So. Yeah.
I feel like after a certain point of success, we're all asking ourselves that question. Oh. Like, I don't know.
I hadn't planned on hitting there so quickly. You know, so.
I once did a commercial where I dressed up like a giant piece of Chex Mix. And I hit that pretty early in my career. So
I remember that.
It's not a fond memory. I'm not bragging.
National commercial?
Nope.
Oh, well, okay.
It was internet. It was like weird websites only. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, not even any residual checks to take the edge off your regret.
Nah, it was one lump fee to be a whore in a ride chip costume.
We all do what
we gotta
do.
The point is, we all make choices.
Exactly.
Well, I'm really excited you're here today because you came with a conspiracy theory that has been very near and dear to my heart for quite a while. And after some deliberating, we deliberated a little bit, but you picked. And I want to make sure we get this correct. You said, my mama told me.
Black men with bad haircuts are perceived as safer in the eyes of white America.
Is it a conspiracy if it's true? No. Yeah, but that's what they say.
I've heard it before, and I love that you picked it. Tell me where this comes from for you.
Well, my mama first, but also I think it perpetuates through Hollywood. Anytime the good guy steps on the scene, that hairline is all the way fucked up. You know what I mean? And so I think it's so almost anti-Black to be walking around with your head all messed up. That it's like, you got to be working on the other side. You know what I mean? Or trying to, not working on the other side, but trying to present yourself as differently than.
Right. So you're saying that to some extent, this is like the men or the people involved in this consenting to a shitty hairline.
Yes.
For the sake of like getting in good with Hollywood.
It started as a conspiracy and people are now using it. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So just my theory.
I got you. No. Listen. There's no reason to run from this. Let's dig deep into
this. We all code switch. Some people hairline switch. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to get,
some people change
ladder.
Their voice.
Exactly.
Some people change their voice on a phone call. Some of y'all tell your barber, hey, don't touch that.
Don't touch.
I'm leave that a little fucked up.
I'm trying to get up to the VP spot, you know? So got my...
I love that. Wait, your mother has this opinion? She shares this conspiracy theory?
No, I was lying. I was just trying to go with the podcast.
Oh, okay.
But,
you're just playing along. Good for you.
Nah, my mother, I'm from the island, so I don't know what our conspiracy theory. We just have a lot of sayings that are rooted in religion bullshit. But this one is, I picked because I definitely know it's a thing.
Sure. Let's start digging into examples, because I do feel like even for our white listeners, I have to imagine that some of them are even confused about what a good hairline is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine that half the time they even know when a Black man has a sweet
lineup. I would say, look at any recent upgrade on the NBA.
Sure.
You know, it's any NBA player that was looking a little different than they were a couple of years ago. That's the new version is the good hairline. That's
look at you trying to keep your money by not saying LeBron James. Look at you. That was very professional of you. You're like, I ain't gonna say
no names. Maybe I have to dress as a graham cracker next to him in a commercial coming up. You don't know.
He sometimes, you know, might write me a check. I'm gonna be cool, but
you never know when a nigga
individuals
cross over into comedic comedy or whatever. They always crossing over. I might have to meet this dude one day. You never know. But yes,
anyway,
I would say
Janelle James in Space Jam 2.
Oh my God, I wish. Anyway,
don't we all? But no, I totally agree. I think that to some extent, there was a celebration of a lot of NBA or sort of big celebrity figures at the point that their hair looked shitty.
Right.
Or is continuing to look shitty. Complicated. Right. We'll say their hair is complicated.
Sure. Yeah, I was just going to say, if white people want to know what we're trying to achieve here as far as perfection, look to the ones that were paid for.
Right. There you go. That okay. Now you're explaining something. So a old LeBron is what we're fighting against.
Yes, right.
A current LeBron is what we are trying to achieve.
Right.
I've said it a few times in other places, but I genuinely believe that Jalen Rose made a deal with the devil to have the hairline that he has. It is magnificent.
Well, now just I gotta look this dude up.
Oh, you don't know Jalen Rose?
No,
it's
I'm not a big sports fan.
To ever exist. He's most famous for being an Indiana Pacer and then getting, he wasn't a Pacer at the time, but he took 81 points from Kobe. Kobe scored 81 points on the man, and now he's a commentator.
Oh, and this is an example of a great hairline, is what you're saying.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm like, wait a minute. What are you? Oh, okay. I thought you were saying the opposite. I'm like, well, shit, what's the good one? If this is awful, this is pretty fucking perfect.
It's the perfect hairline, and I have to believe that he
did something.
He murdered an orphan to get it.
Oh, he's 47 with this strong ass hairline. Something going on,
right?
He sacrificed something at the altar. And I'm looking at a picture of his younger self, and he had a low cut. He had the almost a buzz cut. What's that like? What's it called when you have the 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, the
on
ball
your head.
Fade type
the ball
joint.
Fade and the hairline. It's crisp.
Listen, it's never moved.
It's never
in 47 years.
This is a conspiracy right here. Jalen Rose is here. Let's solve that shit. Wow.
What blood did you drink, Jalen, to get that haircut to stay exactly where it is in 47 years?
Oh, my goodness. I am amazed.
So this conspiracy specifically, I think, was presented under the guise of black men. But do you find that that also applies to women, that black women in Hollywood are forced to sort of consent to bad hair
on ourselves?
Yeah, or just, you know, white people sort of like wanting that look. So
well,
that
you know, I definitely
advantage.
switch up the wigs depending on what I'm trying to go for. You know, sister girl gets braids or, you know, color, you know,
sure.
And corporate lady gets the wig, you know, the straight, right. Relaxed hair.
Maybe a little Farrah Fawcett at
little
the end.
Little Scandal, little Kerry Washington. That's
okay.
Been the standard the last couple years.
I got you. So you think the sisters in general are getting a little more grace when it comes to their hair, that they're having more options to choose from?
Well,
whereas
I don't
men...
know. In Hollywood, I mean, I don't know if it's grace. We all are also constantly trying to figure out what hairstyle is least scary to white people or just the right enough black that they're like, okay, we got a black person, but not too black that she gonna call us on our shit.
Right. If you twist that all the way to the scalp, you gonna cause some problems at work.
It's gonna be tight on set, you know what I mean? She's not gonna like my jokes and shit, you know, so.
Right. That's fair. I think what's fascinating in this conspiracy theory, or certainly has so much to explore in this conspiracy theory, is what the intention of the sort of white Hollywood is in controlling black hair. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what's your goal here? What are you ultimately trying to achieve in your control of black hair?
Well, diversity without being too diverse.
Mm.
I don't know what's scary to, I mean, there's preconceived notions about different type of hairstyles. So if you got dreads, you're a radical, or you smoke weed, or, you know, if you natural, maybe you in the front of the Black Lives Matter protests or whatever they think, which isn't necessarily true, but and Hollywood don't really move quickly. So the same stereotypes they had in the '80s are the same one they judging us by now, you know?
Right.
I change my hair every 5 seconds. So who am I? But you know,
I'm sure you show up to work and they're like, that's a new lady.
Girl,
who this new lady?
So fast. You had a bob yesterday and it's down to your butt. I swear you black people are amazing. Black girl magic, sis.
Right.
Anyway.
I think you're making a very valid point that so much of this is rooted in like antiquated stereotypes, right?
Right.
That like
yeah.
What white people were scared of in 1986 about black associations and hairstyles is still the exact same thing that they're pretty much afraid of today.
I feel like, you know, outside of Hollywood, it's still true that white people don't have many encounters with black people. So they still, everything they believe is still what's on TV or what they saw back then. And then I don't think they, until recently, even went out of their way to see us. So it's just what they happen to see in a movie with a black person one time. You know, they're not necessarily seeking out black entertainment. I always say that this, what's happening now with diversity and always having to include a black person or a one of each and all of that. I don't know. Sure, I'm happy for the work, but I don't know if that makes better product. And it's not realistic because a lot of white people, they hang out with people that look like them. I hate when I'm watching a white production and then here comes this black dude like, yo, what up? Like they would never be friends. You know what I mean? And you don't have to trick me.
You don't have to wedge this person in here because you feel bad about not casting someone or writing the story with a black person in it. Just write the story you know how to write. And hopefully the story you know how to write includes black people.
Right.
But it shouldn't just be you turn this into a black character for no reason.
And what would happen in the 80s is, not 80s, in the 90s, with the black guy that would show up with the, hey, what up, would always have a whack ass haircut. Would always have a whack haircut. And I think that's just stuck with us.
And I think part of it is like, you can't have the one dude show up who's like the best friend and he looks sexy and flexy. You need him to show up and look like average and something that can fade into the background. We don't need this motherfucker.
Well, also, I think just from experience, dudes, black dudes who's walking around with them type of haircuts grew up around white people. They going,
haircuttery.
Exactly. They in there, you know, letting Barb cut their hair or whatever. I mean, I've lived in neighborhoods like that where there's no black barbershop. Where else you going to go?
Yeah.
You know, so. Right.
I've only been a victim once, but as a former victim of supercuts, I can say I can say that it's never going to turn out to be the experience you want it to be.
I wouldn't imagine why you would think that, but
you know, when you're a boy growing up in the suburbs, you get desperate. You start to think like, I want to look good. Maybe this white lady can help me out. And it's a
mistake. Done my kids old school where I just went on some YouTube vids and said, let me figure out how to cut this shit because I don't.
Right. No, I mean, at a certain point, my mom was cutting my hair and she wasn't good at it and YouTube didn't exist.
Right.
So it was she's just like making some shit up and it wasn't helping. And then I thought like, oh, I'm going to be a big boy and independent and try this on my own. And, you know, you fuck up. But
so, you know. So did they cut your hair with the scissors?
Of course. that's where they start. And then you walk out, you like, okay, line me up. And then you got bangs for some reason. It's just, you know.
I feel like that's a rite of passage for black people here. Like, I've definitely sat down in a white woman's chair. Like, actually, that just happened to me on set where it's so funny because of YouTube, this is off topic, but because of YouTube, and I appreciate it. You know, there's the white hairstylists are trying to learn about black hair more. And this woman was so proud of having some edge control gel. Like she pulled it out. Like before she pulled it out, her face was beaming. I was like, what's she about to pull out? Because she was like, I'm about to fucking blow this chick's mind. Like, and she pulled out this edge control and the little brush. And she's like, should I do your edges? And I just...
Oh, like, she couldn't wait to say that.
She
was up all night practicing.
And look how nice I am. I said, sure. I ain't need to have that shit. But I was like, you look so excited to crack open. And it was fresh. Not one fingerprint in that shit. I was the first.
Oh, she killed it?
No, meaning when she opened the gel, I was obviously the first. She hadn't even put her finger in it yet. It was a fresh, smooth surface. I was the first edges she had ever brushed down.
She was cracking the seal on this edge control gel.
Exactly.
She was waiting for you. And to your point, that's very nice that she
tried,
that she studied and whatever.
The more wanted alternative is that they let black people into the unions for hairstyling on sets. But anyway, so...
That would be so ideal. I, too, have had some horrifying set stories where it's just like you show up and they don't have a black barber. And if they do, it's not really a black barber. It's just like somebody who qualifies as being able to do ethnic hair.
Correct.
Which doesn't mean anything.
Anything.
And it's like, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Do you know how to do black hair? That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
What is ethnic?
Do you know how to be a nigga in a barbershop? Can you cut my hair while you tell me about you cheating on your wife?
Exactly.
That's the kind of energy I need to get a solid haircut. Do you know what I mean?
So that brings us back to our conspiracy in that I think part of the reason black dudes with horrible haircuts are more palatable and safer to white people is that they know that they're not experiencing the indoctrination or what they think is the indoctrination of black barbershops.
Right.
Who knows what they think is happening in there? Probably they think we in there getting radical, making plans with each other.
Oh, shit. Whoa.
That's my theory.
Let's take a step back.
Hey, I really thought about this before I came on.
You might have just cracked open something that I need you to really explore this. This brings me to a section of the show that I like to call Talk That Talk. And what you're suggesting is groundbreaking in a way that I never expected. So, Janelle, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. 30 seconds to just break down exactly what you mean about this potential indoctrination from the black barbershop. Right. Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. So... I think black barbershops is one of the few spaces that white people have not gentrified. And so they don't know what the fuck is happening in there. And usually just based on behaviors and things that are happening and have always happened, they, for whatever reason, have in their head that anytime we're left to our own devices that we're plotting against them. So if you in a barbershop with a fresh fade, oh, and don't have a fresh lineup all the time, that means you in there so much. Who knows what you're plotting? Therefore, you're scary. Scared of the unknown, which is the basis for a lot of things.
There it is. Oh, man. Okay.
Motherfucking bar, nigga.
Now you cracked something open, because I think that's exactly right. I think there's this constant fear of what we're doing without them.
Yeah.
And so they are essentially making us get our hair cut by white people or by sort of like their insiders so that they can avoid the risks that we're constantly treading in this space that they're afraid to enter on their own.
Correct.
And then
you have it.
There's a constant risk that maybe if I'm alone with my barber, I'm going to be planning some sort of like terrorist attack against the white community.
Instead of just getting
a haircut by a dude who has bad opinions about like women and LeBron. Like, I don't, it doesn't have to be all that.
Well, you know, I've found that white people think we think about them way more than we do. So that's what I think is happening.
Honestly, this changed everything for me, and I've got more reading to do because this was powerful. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with more Janelle James and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Dick.
And we're back here with more Janelle James and more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about those trash ass hairlines that Hollywood approves and allows people to excel in their careers based on the fucked up linings that they put out in the world. You think this extends beyond Hollywood? Do you think that this goes into other spaces of success?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every big purchase I've ever made that was from a black man was with a dude with a fucked up hairline. Like, my car, my house, it was always a guy. Sure. Come on back. Got the papers for you. Those only people that they let get the papers. You know what I mean?
Man. So... That's devastating.
I ain't never bought nothing expensive from a sharp hairline.
Right. I started thinking about it in terms of like politicians, right? Even beyond politics, like these sort of like massive figures in history. Barack Obama, not that great of a hairline. Martin Luther King Jr., ain't nobody talking about that fade. Nelson Mandela. You think they would let him be Nelson Mandela if he didn't have that slick back afro? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I will say Barack, just like his politics, really walked the line of his hairline. Like, he has a hairline, but he ain't too sharp. You know what I mean?
No.
He's left, but not too left. Like, that's his that's his play.
That's exactly right.
He has enough that we not gonna roast him. But then white people are like, okay, well, you know, it's fuzzy. It's fuzzy sometimes.
He was like, hey, line me up, but don't you hit them corners. Don't you dare hit them corners. You leave them corners soft.
Exactly.
I can't afford for these motherfuckers to get uncomfortable with my corners.
I feel like that's how he lives life, right in the middle.
Right? It's just a soft middle for Barack Obama.
Real biracial. No.
Oh, man, that hurts my feelings. In a big way. All right. I have some research that I'd love to unpack with you, because I do think that there's a lot of legitimacy to this conspiracy theory. One of the things that I found, as we were measuring success, I guess the easiest sort of like measure of success or clearest measure of success was to go to the Forbes list of billionaires, right? Mm-hmm. And of the 2,153 people listed on the Forbes list of billionaires last year,
that's insane.
That no, you're right. 2,100 people are that all billionaires.
That doesn't even make sense. But go ahead. So I'm sorry.
And we're out here starving and freezing. And by we, I mean y'all. I'm fine. But the point is,
oh, it's coming for us.
It is. I'm not far enough into any game to be exempt from this.
Exactly.
But so of the 2,100 people, 13 of them are black. Oh. That's it. In the world. Of those 13.
That's a high number. I'm surprised.
It's more than you expected.
More than I thought. I wouldn't even think they would let that many of us get there, for sure.
Yeah, they let 13 slip through. And of those 13, all 13 of them are black men with trash hairlines or Oprah. That's the
That's the
breakdown. I think there's another lady in there, but that's not the way the bits go. But, and every single one of them, I'll read you some of them are concrete tycoons and Michael Jordan and
I'm looking now. These are dudes, they just put on the number 5 guard and go straight back. I'ma just run this through like a comb, just straight back.
Right. Hey, man, hit me with that lawnmower and keep it moving.
Exactly. Just take it down.
I don't have time. I have to go shut down an orphanage real
quick. Don't shake the perimeter. Just take it down. Just take the shrubbery, you know.
I think, to your point, there's not a lot of evidence of, like, a dude at the highest level of at least certainly, like, financial success.
Right. That look like he goes to a black barbershop. I'm telling you, it's all around the barbershop. Mm-hmm. These dudes are not, no. I mean, you a billionaire, first of all. You have your own barber, but...
This right.
Is, you ain't in the shop getting indoctrinated. No. Being around other brothers. You already a billionaire, so you already a black billionaire, so you're already isolated. So your only peers are other white people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in there with the waves and a wave cap. Like, get out of here.
And at that point, who are you doing it for? Right? Like, like you said, if my peers are all white people, who gives a fuck if I have a straight hairline? They can't tell the difference.
Now, I will say, I was surprised that Jay-Z went locks after billionaire. That's almost like a little fuck you, if you think about
it. Yeah. I mean, Jay-Z wasn't known for his hair to begin with.
True that. But he's gone, like, in a real wacky way right now. Yeah. That I was surprised about.
Jay-Z's a fascinating one, though, because I do think he's almost playing both sides, right? Because you see this dude who, like you said, he sort of has like this Afro lock mm-hmm. sort of look now,
which
makes him very like connected to mm-hmm. Africa and mm-hmm. blackness and all mm-hmm. this other stuff, while simultaneously having a hairstyle that you see on like Cheerios commercials. Do you know what I mean? Like they put like a curly haired black man in a Cheerios commercial and make him say how yummy honey is on his oats and his nuts.
I knew Jay-Z crossed over when I saw footage of him. I think he was at a basketball game with Beyonce. And the story mm-hmm. was about how they must have had an argument because Beyonce had a bad look on her face or something. But what I noticed was...
Yep.
At one point, Jay-Z spots another, I can only assume, super rich friend across the way, and he waved at them with his hands straight out and just did the fingers. That's I was like, that's not Brooklyn.
Right.
That's not Brooklyn. I was Jay-Z, like, he's gone.
Jay-Z's waving like Toodaloo. And
yes.
That ain't it.
A real fucking Samantha-ass wiggle figure. A real see you at the tennis courts tomorrow type wave.
Right.
And I was like, oh, they got him. So that's what makes the hair confusing, because he is definitely playing both sides. I mean,
yeah, I don't think I think Jay-Z's a smart enough dude to be aware that, like, all right, I can't be a trash hairline guy, but I can be sort of like this weird Afrocentric
artistic,
trash
like he's going
hairline
in,
dude.
I collect paintings now type. We in a museum type nigga. Yeah, I get it.
And that, yep, I love this. And there's so many other great examples of people who have reached sort of like a weird peak with like terrible hairlines. Tiger Woods is a great example.
Did
never
Tiger
got
ever,
a line.
But did he ever claim us? I don't think so. Did Tiger ever say he was black?
I mean, he had a black daddy. It's hard not to. That was his best friend. I don't think that he wanted to, but.
Right. I mean, I ain't pushing black on nobody that don't want it. So that's why I always.
That's
like,
fair.
If you ain't trying to say be proud about it, then I don't want you. But I just don't remember him ever saying that he's black. So he can have that hairline for all I can.
That's fair. I'm going to read you a quote.
I don't claim him. Or that headline.
You're not with me no more, Tiger.
Nope.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
You ain't with us, Tiger. You something else.
Right. He's his own category, which is fine.
I, So this has been an ongoing issue, so much so that in 2020, the Hollywood Reporter wrote an article called Hollywood's Black Hair Problem on Set. We've All Cried in Our Trailers, which basically chronicles like sort of, yeah. And it's primarily women, but it chronicles the exactly what you were talking about.
Been there. Of like,
yes, black women sort of being cast and then not having hairstylists on the other side.
You quickly learn to show up already done.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that people say in the article. Natasha Rothwell talks a lot about how she has to wake up an hour early from the time she would have normally woke up just so she could do her hair, show up on set and not let them like do something way worse to it.
Again, off topic because this is about male hairlines, but this also goes to white people not being around us. They don't even know what our hair is supposed to look like. You know what I mean? I've purposely showed up on set looking fucked. Like if I walked into a black room, y'all would be like, what the fuck? I've purposely gone on set and been like, no, I'm good. And have the hairstylist look at me and like, you look great. Like they have no idea.
Yeah.
They're like, okay. Right. You know, I have to be like, no, I'm joking. I just woke up. Then they're like, oh, because they just don't know.
Oh, thank God. I hated what I saw, but I didn't know.
Yeah. Not even that they hated it. They just don't know. Yeah. They just don't know. I don't like the, oh, if you don't have any black friends, you not, da da da. Because there's many places in America where you can walk around for days and not see one of us. You know what I mean?
So that's fair.
But once you get up into Hollywood and you and we're on set, these are things we have to either have someone who knows or they have to be trained. They're not training them to do our hair, which means that this is a industry that was set up with no thought of us ever being in it.
Right. You know what I think that's exactly right. And this is where it gets even more fascinating for me is that this conversation extends well beyond the industry, right? Mm-hmm. That like there's so many different examples of sort of this war on black hair in other spaces. For example, in 2018, a student is sent home from Christ the King Elementary School in Tarrytown, Louisiana, because she's wearing box braids.
Right.
And they basically just decide box braids are wrong. Right. Or a different time in 2018, where a six-year-old is sent home banned from school because he has locks. Right. And the principal like justifies this as being a rule that's been in the school's like doctrine since 1971.
And he's like, dude, I'm the first black person here. No,
right. Right.
How do you have this like rule? I've never.
It's a racial ban. You're just masking it under a protective hairstyle.
Right. And this is also, again, this is fear of the unknown. They don't know what these hairstyles means. It makes them uncomfortable. It's not, they're not around it. They don't, it's too different. It's too black. And it reminds them that we exist.
Yes.
Basically.
And yes. And to your earlier point, 1971 was when you established this rule because you're basing it off of fears that existed in 1971.
Then, exactly.
Like, we're not even afraid of the same shit that we were afraid.
Yeah.
In 1971, we were afraid that Russians were going to nuke us through, like, weird satellites in the sky. Now we know they're going to nuke us through, like...
Elections.
And weird and weird emails and Facebook messages. And, it's a completely different world of fears.
And they're more of a poisoning kind of people rather than nukes. And now we're finding out, you know, that's their thing. We would say the bombs. Right. They're more poison people, you know? So
they're more poison people. That's
correct
fair.
Yourself.
Yeah, update your shit.
But talking about, I mean, this is also entertainment industry, but I feel like the patron saint of safe hairstyles is Bill Cosby.
Mm.
Bill Cosby and every dude that he had on that show.
Yes.
Elvin's nerdy camp ass.
Trash.
That haircut. The dude in the military, Denise's husband. Trash. Uh-huh. Like
never,
that.
Never had a sweet lineup on him.
If any one of them girls showed up with a do-rag nigga, he'd have lost his mind.
Yeah, I think that's, now you're talking. Now you're really talking. Because Theo was about to go on a date wearing a Gordon Gartrell and had a trash lineup.
He wouldn't even let Theo have a real flat top. It was like it was an afro that he padded into a flat top. that he shaped into a flat top.
And I think Cosby knew the whole time. Cosby was the king of sort of like respectability politics.
Yeah.
And that man knew that if he had Theo looking too much like Jalen Rose, Theo was not an endearing character to his white audience.
Exactly. It would have been a special episode. Theo gets a lineup.
Theo gets a lineup and gets kicked out of the family.
And he like, what, you been over to Flatbush? Where you going?
Who cut your hair?
Cosby was like in Clinton Hill or something, right?
Yeah, he was like Brooklyn Heights. Almost.
Right. So that episode, Theo went across the tracks to Bushwick or whatever and got a haircut. Yeah, and now the whole family got to do a dance to convince him to come back.
Theo took the 2 train too far. And now... And now we don't know if we
swimming
with Theo anymore, right? All right. So in 2019, and this is interesting, Cory Booker, another trash hairline, Cory Booker introduced the Crown Act, which is an act meant to protect against discrimination based on hair, specifically for Black people with tightly coiled or protective styles.
Right.
And it's only been accepted since 2019 in 3 states, California, New York, and New Jersey. Everybody else can still fire you or keep you from a school based on your hair if they want to.
And let me tell you, not that this was a conscious choice, but this is why comedy has been such a relief for me, because I've had corporate jobs and worked in offices, and I just cannot see me as myself as an adult having other adults telling me what to do with my hair. It's just, right. It's so demeaning. It's so, you take people's humanity. Like, be this other thing in order to earn money for the job that you're doing.
Right. And I think that's such an important point, because I think at the essence of what we're talking about is an ability to take away someone's confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing that makes them feel most themselves oftentimes
it's a power
is the way
play.
We look.
It's a power play. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I do think, to your earlier point, this is like an intentional want to damage our confidence and keep us in this place of emotional disarray.
Force assimilation.
Yeah. So either you look a little ashy, you look a little bummy, or you look your best, but you're not welcome in, you know, whatever country.
And also your best intimidates me. I don't like you looking better than me.
Yeah.
What look better than a Black man shined up, teeth blinging, charm. Right. He's spinning your wife out at the fucking company picnic and shit. She giggling. Nobody wants that. Right. You better come in here with this fucked up lineup and stop intimidating me.
That's why they're scared to put Idris in the James Bond.
Oh, come on. Who gonna follow him?
Because they know that white tuxedo, that's going to look better on that chocolate skin than anybody.
Look, Idris gets Bond. His love interest is going to be the blackest bitch on the planet. They will never let him.
It just blows up the whole theory that this is like the best thing if you make him Bond. And so you have to keep him sort of in, you know, they need him to be Luther.
It's fun.
Also, it's him with a trash hairline. That's the only difference.
I mean, he pulls it off. But anyway.
All right. Put your loins away. Let's focus on the argument here. Yeah, don't get all wet over there. Let's
you forgot.
Focus
I ain't got
there.
No shirt on. I forgot. I bumped up on the table for a minute. Got excited. My bad. But in his British Luther, all his love interests are white women. I don't know if you noticed that. And his sidekicks are Black women. I'm saying if they did a Bond that was a U.S. based production, they would not let him have a white love interest.
Yeah.
I don't, it would be Alec Weck or something like that. He would have to have, because a part of it is, again, where the theory being that certain white people are still afraid of old stereotypes, the Black buck that's coming to steal your woman really does play into that. So,
right. My guess is that if they make him the Bond that he deserves to be, they're probably going to give him like some vaguely ethnically like sort of ambiguous woman.
Yeah.
They're going to give him like a Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And let that be his love interest, because that doesn't offend them as much as Black women do. For whatever reason, the idea of Black women having sex consensually is very upsetting to Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a whole other bag of
Shit.
Yeah, it gets sad at the end. I get that. All right, we're going to take another break and we'll be back with more Janelle James and more My Mama Told Me.
And we are back.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
We're back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Janelle James. We have, I think, fully unpacked the possibility that this is all rooted in a fear of the Black barbershop and really a fear of Black revolution that the white people think is coming out of the Black barbershop.
Yep.
It's all scary and exciting. I love where we're headed.
And, you know, jokes on them, because those headlines, I mean, I feel like that's some undercover spy shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like where this is going. Tell me more.
So you trust in the fucked up headlines, but they know what they doing to get up in your spaces.
Right. Yeah, you fucked up my hairline, but you didn't take my mind from me.
Hello?
I'm still connected to a community. I'm still working with a people.
Yes.
So yeah, okay. That's right. You made my hairline look like shark teeth. But guess what, motherfucker? I'm going to go report back everything I've learned on set or in this community or in this boardroom.
Through my back channel barbershop network.
We going to get you, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's play a game. I have a fun game that I like to play. This game is called
White Lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
This is White Lies. It's a fun game where I will introduce to you, Janelle, a traditional white conspiracy, a very famous white conspiracy. And then I would like you to take the time to unpack that conspiracy, really break it all down. Why do you think white people care about this conspiracy so much? What are these sneaky motherfuckers up to?
Let me put my goofy on.
Yeah, put your goofy on. put on.
That's how I do it.
Light up your eyes. Do whatever you got to do to really open that third eye, and let's get into this. Have you ever heard of the conspiracy Paul is dead?
No.
Okay, so there is a conspiracy, a claim that the Beatles member Paul McCartney in 1966 died in a car crash, and he was replaced by a man named Billy Shears, who looked like him and then became the Paul McCartney we now know today.
Okay.
This has been spread over decades of Beatles, you know, whatever, conspiracies. And so much so that even in the cover of Abbey Road, they claim that Paul is wearing a suit that signifies him at his funeral. And he has no shoes on as he's crossing Abbey Road, which I guess implies that he is, I don't know, barefoot.
You don't get buried in shoes? I don't understand.
Listen, I don't get what they're doing, but what I would love for you to do is explain to me why, after decades of this conspiracy continuing, why it is so important that white people believe that Paul McCartney died in that car crash.
Whew, that's a tough one, because it makes absolutely no sense. But so the conspiracy is that they want to believe that he's dead.
Yes,
maybe they know that they've hounded him and the Beatles in, you know, it's such bad, because the Beatles were the Michael Jackson of their time. You know what I mean? Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were the biggest. They were the baddest. They were all the things.
I would think a better conspiracy would be that he faked his death or something like that to get away from the limelight. And he was tired of the business, and then kind of like Tupac is in on an island chilling.
Right. Okay. That Paul McCartney just wanted out from the celebrity.
I can't even wrap my mind around this conspiracy that he's dead and replaced for what purpose? Are the Beatles still touring? Is he still collecting money?
Right. At this point, Paul McCartney just shows up on SNL every, six episodes.
Was he murdered? Is that part of the conspiracy?
Was that the car crash killed him on accident. It wasn't on purpose. And so instead of, I think the hope, or at least what they're suggesting, is that instead of losing the Beatles and their front man, right, because him and Lennon were basically like the main singers,
they just happened to have a ringer ready to jump in. Just ready at the ready, because they had already thought about this. Like, what if?
Right.
If Paul dies, we gonna need.
Hey,
Billy
who
to
we
step
gonna
up.
Have? Because we blowing up right now, and I can't fuck this money up. So, I'm guessing. This a dumbass.
That is fun to believe that every famous artist has like a replacement dude.
that the evil record company just has on standby. Like, y'all ain't about to fuck up this money. We
right.
Who died? Nah, we got to finish this tour. Billy, you up? Like,
you saying Bruno Mars was in a plane crash. Well, that's you, James. You got to come on. Hey, you got to go do your job.
You see how fast they got Kevin Hart out of that car accident. Like,
yeah, okay.
I mean, that's all a conspiracy right there. What happened with that whole situation? Kevin, I respect you and would love to work on the movie with you later on. Disclaimer.
You'll see Janelle in Pets 3 coming out.
Fingers motherfucking crossed.
I think this is a fascinating train to go down that perhaps
Hollywood does have fixers. I do believe in that. People that make things happen. But I don't know why people would want to believe this conspiracy.
Well, I think to your point, it really is a maintaining of the status quo, right? That like as long as this person continues to exist and these entities seem unharmed and unchanged, we have our power. At the point that they seem fallible, they can be broken, suddenly our power is not as everlasting and
yeah,
powerful.
Yeah, kind of. But the conspiracy is that people think he's dead, though. So it's not, they don't believe that this current Paul McCartney, who I just Googled, that's on a canoe and on a river somewhere enjoying quarantine, they don't think that's him. That shit don't make no goddamn sense to me.
Right, so. But that's the internet, right? Or that's the internet of old. I think that the powers that be, what is their motivation for it? I think their want is to maintain status quo.
Okay.
Now, to your point, why do random people want to believe that? Right. I don't know. That's, exactly. That's the part that scares me.
I can understand wanting to believe Tupac is still alive. But wanting to believe that Paul McCartney is dead and is now replaced. And it's not even some out there conspiracy like he's been replaced by a lizard person or an alien or cloning or anything like that.
No, it's a man named Jimmy Shears.
Just some dude.
That's not even a sexy name. Nobody gets horny for Jimmy Shears.
They found him in a hotel lobby in a Beatles cover band and they said, hey, there's been an accident. Jimmy.
Get those shoes off. We're going to need to make a weird album cover.
We want him to be dead, but we want to tell people in secret that he alive. I mean, that's the whole thing. Don't ask questions. Here goes some money.
We'll leave some little hints everywhere we go.
Just because.
You'll be Paul from now on.
Just because.
Just because. Yeah, we don't give a fuck. We're willing to risk it all for little homages to his death. Well, Janelle, I think we did it. Cool. I think we nailed it. This was a fantastic episode. Could you tell the people where they can find you? Any cool stuff you have going on?
Yeah, you can find me online and in my house, basically, because I'm in quarantine like everybody else should
enough.
Be. But watch Black Monday. I'm on season 2, and it's a fantastic Black ass show, and I'm proud of it. Watch my Netflix comedy lineup. I don't know. Google me. I'm out there.
Yeah, Google her. She's out there and Netflix. Her Netflix special is hilarious. Black Monday is hilarious.
Oh, listen to my album, Black and Mild. The comic just offered to pay me to listen to my album, which is like, is quarantine driving everybody crazy? That's crazy.
Okay, and, well, send their email over to me. I'll do it.
But yeah, listen to that. It's the thing I'm most proud of. And I guess my kids too or whatever, but.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I guess my kid's cool, but Black and Mild, that's where I really feel like I nailed it.
I killed that shit.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of My Mama Told Me. Once again, follow us and like and subscribe on whatever platforms you do that shit. Oh, and last thing, if you have anything that you would like to send us, drops, artwork, alien dick pics, whatever it may be, please send those to mymamapod@gmail.com. I would love to see it. I would love to read it. I would love to experience it and potentially play it in one of our episodes. Have a good day.